Earlier today, we considered what might happen to President Obama's environmental legacy with a change of administration. That was also a big part of the conversation at this month's Conference of the Parties to the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. The COP22 continued the work on the Paris Agreement despite anxiety over future U.S. involvement. Visiting East-West Center scholar Anu Hittel was in Marrakesh for the meeting, and she joins us now with some of the key takeaways. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for giving us your bird's eye view as you were there. When you arrived, how much anxiety was there over the coming administration change?
I arrived in the second week, so that was about a week later after the elections. And I would say that people had been coming around a little bit. My colleague who'd been there the first week said that she was, the Americans were very startled and many, of course, shattered, and that the atmosphere there was quite glum. But for the most part, it was business as usual. So by the time I got there, people had been coming around a little, and there seemed to be more of an attitude of sort of countries being more resolute about staying the course.
More countries being resolute and also more countries joining in, as I understand.
Yes. Yeah, so the Paris Agreement, which was signed last year, of course, you know, that has been, people have been trying to sign on to that, parties, which is the countries, have been signing on to that all along. And so we've got about, we've got 114 as of this morning, and it's 197 parties. So they're signing on, and hopefully that will keep happening.
So is there this idea that perhaps there might be greater international peer pressure for the UN, for the U.S. to stay involved? Or is there the sense of whether whatever the U.N. decides to do will be, you know, regardless of whatever U.S. involvement there may be?
Well, I think everybody is really not wanting to, nobody's wanting to do what happened with the Kyoto Protocol, which is the U.S. pulled out of the Kyoto Protocol, and no one wants that, a repeat of that. So countries are really gunning for the U.S. to stay in the agreement. China has expressed that, the EU. So these are the two of the four biggest polluters. So I think we just have to stay tuned as to what will actually happen, but there is certainly more resolution amongst the countries, especially the big polluters, that we want the U.S. to stay in because that's the way we can all go forward.
And what about monies pledged and the adaptation fund?
Well, there are still monies in the adaptation fund. The Green Climate Fund is the one that everyone is wondering what's going to happen. So it's $100 billion that countries had promised to pay into that fund by 2020. And what's happened is that only about 11 or 12 billion of that has actually been realized. Of that, the U.S. pledged 3 billion. And with the results of the elections, I don't think that that 3 billion is going to be coming. So what I think that's a signal that will send a signal, but I don't think it will stop the work.
So even though the money is pledged, clearly it's not been paid in. And going forward, is there a sense that that the U.S. might, in fact, just simply not do anything at all, which is sort of tantamount to pulling out?
Of course, the U.S. could do nothing at all, but that would be at the government level, at the national government level. There is already so much action going on at the cities level and the state level. And at the corporation level, corporations that transcend national boundaries, as well as institutions like the IUCN, which put up the World Conservation Congress here in Honolulu in September. So these are non-governmental bodies that supersede the nation state. And so I think there is already so much work going on and so much momentum that the U.S. pulling out, of course, that would be a huge signal, but the U.S. to do nothing, there would still be work going on, and there would never be nothing.
You mentioned international corporations, of somewhat 200 of them that have pledged to become involved or are involved already?
That's right. So international business corporations, they've been involved for a while. They're developing solar. In Marrakesh, it was wonderful to see there was a green zone area where the businesses could showcase what they've been doing. I had colleagues and friends who were there from the European Bank of Reconstruction and Development working on North Africa solar energy issues. So these are all things that they're actually trying to find and are finding financing for solar and wind energy and renewable energy in general. So these projects are going ahead because they make business sense.
And what about companies that do business sort of, you know, all over the world? I'm thinking about companies like Sony and Walmart.
Yes, well, I mean, I think there is a pledge to work with the sustainable development goals in general, and whether or not they end up doing it with the Paris Agreement, that remains to be seen. But certainly, I think all of these things are converging into working with those 17 sustainable development goals that the UN had put forward. And the first goal, of course, is no poverty. So that really, I mean, it overlaps with climate, but there are so many other things involved.
So looking forward over this next year, what's coming down the pike? What do you think that we should be focusing on as we watch what comes out of the COP?
Well, the COP meeting, there is really, it's a sort of sit down and work out what the Paris Agreement is going to look like. So there were 35 decisions that were taken. They're all rather technical and maybe not as flashy. I think what was disappointing, though, is that the media did not cover it so much, because this really sets the stage for public understanding of the negotiations and support for climate change issues, which, as we know, are so important. That support is so important, especially in the United States and in this coming very likely hostile administration.
Anu, before you leave, though, don't they have to finalize the rules for the Paris Agreement by 2018? I mean, that's not very far away.
Right, and that's what they're working on. So the U.S., generally, the attitude was, how can we Trump-proof the agreement? And by that, they meant, you know, what are the things that Trump could actually do? So the U.S. could pull out of the UNFCCC, which is the Framework Convention on Climate Change, and that the U.S. could do in about a year. The U.S. could also pull out of the Paris Agreement, and that would take 4 years. So, and of course, as you mentioned before, the U.S. could do nothing at all.
All right. Well, clearly we have to wait and see what's going to happen, because right now there's just a lot of conjecture. But thanks very much for letting us know what you saw while you were there in Marrakesh.
Thank you for having me.
Anu Hiddle is a visiting scholar at the East-West Center working on climate change issues and leads an observer delegation of students from Washington University in St. Louis to the UN climate change meetings every year.
Sail on, almighty ship of state, to the shores of the green, past the reefs of green, through the swamp.